We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. It's a fine Friday.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
Coming up this hour, Mraz's NFL picks. We go up the gut. Next hour, Chad Brown, NFL analyst, will join us. We'll talk about the weekend that will be. And I think the highlight of this weekend is Rams-Eagles. That's the 4:25 Eastern kick from Los Angeles on Sunday, 4:25 Eastern on Fox. And this could be the game of the year in the NFC. One thing that we have been lucky about is that we've had all of these good teams in the NFC play one another down the stretch. We've had all of these teams involved here, the Saints, the Seahawks, the Vikings, the Eagles, the Rams, playing one another. It's made for compelling football. In the AFC, it feels like nobody is challenging the Steelers or the Patriots, and that it's a one-game AFC regular season, which happens next week when the Patriots face the Steelers. So once again, patty cake in the AFC, in the NFC, much more competitive. Rams-Eagles could easily be the NFC game of the year because Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles were just brought down to earth by the Seattle Seahawks going on the road, and now they've got to go on the road again, West Coast again, this time against a high-flying Rams attack. There has to be part of all of us that wonder if the Philadelphia Eagles are good, but maybe not yet great, and that they benefited from stacking up a lot of wins against non-playoff teams. Look, I really like Carson Wentz. Who doesn't? I think Carson Wentz over the next 10 years, along with Deshaun Watson, will be the two most exciting players in football that you will pay to watch. I really like how Doug Peterson has called the game around Wentz. I like the weapons they've given Wentz. I like the way the defense plays. I think the Eagles are very good. But look at where their wins have come from. Washington, the Giants, the Chargers, the Cardinals, the Panthers, Washington again, Niners, Broncos, Cowboys, Bears. Outside of Carolina, and right now the Chargers are 6-6 in the mix in the AFC West, they didn't beat anybody good. So let's see. If they can get a split out of these two games, Seahawks and Rams, I think you have to buy on the Eagles having what it takes to be able to go into the playoffs and do some damage. If they lose both on the West Coast, granted they're both on the road, they're both across the country, but you do have to wonder, are the Eagles good but not great? To me, the scarier teams in the NFC are not the Eagles and not the Rams. They're the Saints and the Vikings, specifically the Minnesota Vikings, because the Minnesota Vikings are just so damn balanced right now, and Case Keenum's actually playing really good football at quarterback. I didn't think I'd be saying that. But they have an elite defense. They've got a good coach. They've got decent weapons. And their quarterback is not just game managing. Keenum is making significant plays on Sundays. But Eagles-Rams have it all, and I think there's so much intrigue with all of these teams. I mean, You have, with Philadelphia, one of the brightest young quarterbacks in the game. In Los Angeles, you have a crazy fun offense to watch where they're just opening it up. Plus, they have Todd Gurley and a young quarterback that's ascending and a head coach that's telling them, let her rip. In Minnesota, you have a Vikings team that, again, has never won a Super Bowl franchise history and a quarterback that's kind of a journeyman that has now stepped up and really seized the moment with a great defense in a beautiful new stadium. And for the New Orleans Saints, you've got the history of Drew Brees as a future Hall of Famer finally getting the support he has never had on defense and the ground game. Even in 09 when they won the Super Bowl, they did not have a ground attack like they have with Ingram and Kamara. And I think about Drew Brees a lot when I think about Dan Marino's career. Dan Marino never had the supporting cast to allow him not to have to carry the load every single week. At no point in Dan Marino's career did he not have to throw for 350 yards and three touchdowns for them to win. They tried. They tried to draft guys. They tried to acquire guys. They tried to draft Sammy Smith. Bring in Bobby Humphrey, Kirby Dardar, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But those running backs, yes, there was a running back called Kareem Abdul-Jabbar back in the day. Those running backs were never great running backs. That defense was never a great defense. And it ended up being, look, Marino, you got to carry us. That was Drew Brees' existence for the last 8 years. And Brees just simply isn't at the point in time where he can do everything in his career. But now they've given him, what a draft it was by New Orleans. Shut down corner and Marshawn Lattimore, tremendous running back in Alvin Kamara. They have Ingram already there. Boy, they even have the ability to trade away Brandon Cooks to the Patriots and still have these weapons around and a balanced offense. So I think they absolutely are dangerous, even despite the loss last night. But the NFC is just so much more compelling right now than anything going on in the AFC. I honestly believe if you matched up, if you listed the top six teams in the NFC, all these six teams that will make the playoffs, whoever gets into the playoffs, the six teams that make the playoffs could all beat the Patriots or the Steelers. I'm not saying they all would be favored. I'm not saying every single one of them would go to Foxborough or go to Heinz Field and blow them out, but I think it's very doable that all six teams that make the NFC playoffs could beat the Steelers or the Patriots. I don't think anybody in the AFC can beat the Patriots outside of the Steelers, and even that I wonder about. Even that. But I know the Patriots aren't a great team this year. They're doing what it takes, but it's more a methodical, boring way to beat inferior talent. They don't have great wins. They don't, but they're doing what they always do, taking advantage of inferior talent around them. But in the AFC, it's going to be such a bore if no team steps up and is really able to challenge either Pittsburgh or New England. Look, I hope I'm wrong and that the Jaguars come in with Leonard Fournette and a great young defense and don't give a bleep and are able to rattle some cages and win a road playoff game of the divisional round. Maybe the Ravens will surprise me with a great defense to be able to do exactly that with a history in that franchise of being able to go on the road and play really well and hang and beat the Steelers or the Pats. Maybe Ingram and Bosa in San Diego, now Los Angeles, are enough of a pass rush to harass Brady or Roethlisberger in the divisional round. But I just don't see it. I just don't see it. But the NFC should be real good. And so Eagles, Rams, Sunday, late kick, get your popcorn. That could be an NFC championship game preview. 855-212-4CBS, Twitter, DA on CBS. Bill, Michigan, 101.1, listen to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Bill.
DA, how's it going?
Doing well, man. How you doing?
Great. Can you beam me up?
Yes, sir. What's going on, bud?
Yeah, sweet. Hey, I just wanted to make a couple quick points to what you've been talking about. First, no one's mentioned that Gronk basically assaulted this man with his elbow brace. If you take a look at those braces, they're made out of steel. They got points on them. And when you see Gronk go down, he uses that brace to jam it in the back of his head. If Gronk had a bare forearm, he probably would have broke his forearm in half on the back of the guy's helmet. You know, number two, as far as the athletes in college, you know, you should pay him. We're giving them an option to take half of the money and then half of the scholarship. Put the other half of the scholarship on payments. Give these guys some money. I'm from Michigan. You know, MSU, Mateen Cleaves, you know, during the Final Four national run there where we won the championship, he got caught stealing 40s, you know, out of a gas station. Now, why is our point guard, you know, of the national championship team have to steal a 40? You know what I mean? It's crazy. And then third, you think you got a bad DA. You've been passionate about a lot of things, but I've never heard you so passionate as about your employee wearing sweatpants. When you think you got it bad, somebody's always got it badder than you. I got a good-looking wife, and every day she goes to work in her pajamas at a hospital where men are making like $500,000 a year wearing their pajamas too. And the only guy not wearing pajamas is a janitor, and he's the only guy that could be wearing his pajamas. I just want to say, I'm out.
That's fair. Good job, Bill. I will absolutely give the pass to those in scrubs. Those are officially issued hospital wear for sanitary reasons. But you would not feel comfortable if your doctor or your surgeon came in with sweatpants under his scrubs. You would not feel comfortable. You would not. If you had to go to court and your lawyer showed up in sweatpants, would you feel comfortable about that case? Would you feel comfortable paying him what you pay him? Now, let me suggest here that your surgeon makes, let's say, $1.5 million a year. And let's say the lawyer that you use makes $800,000 a year, something like that. That would be exactly on par with the assistant coaches and coordinators on the Houston Texans sidelines that wore sweatpants a couple of weeks ago. You would not accept that when it comes to those people making that money in a hospital or in a courtroom. But coaching football, who cares? Who cares? Mraz wants sweatpants. He wants wearing Zubaz and pajama bottoms here at CBS Radio. CBS Radio, the Tiffany Network. CBS, which has one of the greatest, most elegant, sterling brands in terms of media for 100 years. And Mraz would opt to come to work every day dressed as a bum. What does that tell you? Well, it tells you two things. It tells you that Mraz does not take integrity of work very seriously. That inherently he is, unfortunately, and I love him to death, he is a lazy slob. And it also suggests that Mraz is of a generation that has been taught here in America it's okay to be fat, dumb, and stupid.
No, we're from a generation that we just want to be comfortable in life and that we should change the mindset. If everybody came in the mindset that it's no longer inappropriate to wear sweats in court and it was accepted, then it wouldn't be a bad lawyer.
Hmm. So you would appreciate a lawyer that came to defend you if he was wearing sweatpants, as long as he was comfortable.
No, as long as it's acceptable in society.
Sure.
It's not currently acceptable. We need to get to a point where it's acceptable.
But you're saying you find it totally acceptable, even if society does not. So
yes.
you would be okay represented by a lawyer that's wearing sweatpants.
Yeah, especially if it's officially licensed, like the Texans coaches were wearing.
Right. So, I mean, look, Mraz taught us yesterday that he didn't know when cars were invented. Thought that there were no cars before 1950. So I can't criticize him too much. He has been brought up in a generation where he is very ill-educated, clearly, extraordinarily ill-educated, and that also has been taught that it's okay to be lazy and sloppy. It's okay because look at Mraz. He has fallen backwards into a great job in life. I mean, he's even hosting radio shows now. So I can't, this is how we've conditioned our youth. This is how we've conditioned this generation. You see fat, lazy, and stupid on TV all the time. They're on all types of reality shows. This is everything that we have, and these people are glorified. Mraz has a good paying job at a Tiffany network. They actually allow him on the air, and he doesn't know basic U.S. American history. How can I blame him? I can't. We have failed as a system for Mraz. He's stupid. He doesn't know. He's sloppy. He doesn't know better. He wants his lawyers and doctors to wear sweatpants. We have failed Mraz. We have failed him. When we come back, we will let him make football picks. Even that is questionable. He's been terrible all season long.
3-0 last week.
Before that, he was 7 games under .500. Even that's questionable. I'm part of the problem here. I am a Mraz enabler. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. We count down the 12 DAs of Christmas. Here's a moment that got stuck in the chimney.
This is the realest it get, man. It's Chet Hayes, easy riding with the homies, like the Cess Blades. Rarely get stressed, but when I do, the stress pays. Grace under pressure for the record. I'm the next craze. Not bad. Cool. I could read some of these other lyrics that you don't have highlighted.
No, I don't.
Would you? Let's do that. How about I put you guys on blast for a quick second? I'd get to this commercial real quick.
Colin Hanks, stuck in the Christmas chimney, but one of the very funny moments of the DA Show's 2017 as we count down the best moments of the year every December here aboard the dock. Coming up next hour, about 40 minutes from now, we'll bring you number 12 of the 12 DAs of Christmas. As always, you can hit me at 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. I didn't expect my rant on sweatpants to become such kind of a touchstone point here on the show a couple of weeks ago. But as more and more of you weighed in and it became more and more of a talking point of the show, we ended up having to include in the 12 DAs. It was very late in the process. It was like a late commit. And it happened in November, but happened just a couple of weeks ago. But we ended up having to put it in. So it will make the top 12, although that was kind of a surprise and really kind of came out of nowhere because you guys kind of pushed it in there, but understandably so. It's a very polarizing take. Some people love sweatpants at work. Dr. Scott tweets, DA, I'm a college professor. I make good money. I can wear whatever the heck I want and no one would say anything. I purposely wear the ugliest Jumpman sweats just to test it out. Evan tweets, and make no mistake, sweatpants with cargo pockets are still sweatpants, DA. Hashtag not fooling anyone. Daniel tweets, DA, I don't care if my doctor is buck-ass naked as long as he can fix me while I'm laying on a table dying. I really don't care. Well, that is desperation mode, though. I mean, yes, when you're dying, you don't care what the guy looks like as long as he's going to prevent you from dying. I don't think that's where the bar should be, though. I mean, Mraz ain't preventing anybody from dying, but he wants to wear Zubaz around the office. I just don't understand when guys, like 50 years ago, it was not only accepted, it was expected that Tom Landry and Vince Lombardi and George Halas would be on the sideline in like a nice winter coat, a fedora, and khakis or slacks and dress shoes. And at that point, it was expected. And today, that's ridiculed. When Mike Nolan tried to do that, he was ridiculed, which has meant we've gone the other way in bullying. It's like, no, why would you try to look nice? What are you trying to pretend here? Because we have allowed a generation of Americans to think that it's just appropriate to get onto airplanes wearing tank tops and their armpits hanging out. We've allowed a generation of sports fans to wear basically pajamas to go out to games instead of wearing some type of suit or hat or nice shirt. We've allowed, and don't get me wrong, I wear the same t-shirts or jerseys or whatever when I go out to sporting events as well. But it's a sign of the times. Like if you go out in a suit, it's like, oh, how stuffy are you? You know, it's problematic because it has allowed people like Mraz to accept and encourage not only laziness and slovenliness, but expect others to be as slovenly, which is where we get your up the gut picks.
huffiness with football. Moraz gives you his NFL picks every week. It's Up the Gut, only on the DA Show.
All right, so Moraz went a sterling 3-0 last week with his NFL picks, which brings him to two games under 500. He was five games under 500 going into the last week, but good job getting 3-0 last week. And so let's look at the NFC game of the week, maybe the NFC game of the year. Eagles and Rams, this one in Los Angeles. Rams are a 2.5-point favorite, and you like the Rams here, meaning the Eagles would be 0-2 in their last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and if you look at the Eagles' schedule, as good as they've been, by the way, they have slipped back to the number 2 seed in the NFC by basis of the fourth tiebreaker they lose out to in the Vikings. And the reason they lose out on that is their strength of opponents has been terrible. They've beaten one current playoff team all year in Carolina. They had a chance versus the Chiefs and Seahawks in those games and lost both of them. I think I'm sort of not buying the Eagles as much anymore after the last couple weeks, and I am buying the Rams. The Rams came out versus New Orleans at home, shut the door. This will be home again. You know this is a big moment for Goff because all we've heard about nationwide is about how good Carson Wentz is, and Goff was the guy picked ahead of them. I think Sean McVay is a better coach than Doug Peterson, and I think he goes and takes care of business. If you like the Rams to win the game outright, 2.5 is not a big number. Give me the Rams. I think they take care of it and they score more points, and that's how you're going to win football games, right?
But do you not buy the Eagles simply because they lost last week in Seattle?
No, listen.
You say the last couple of weeks you're not buying on them.
Maybe I should refrain on that. I buy on them being a good team, but the whole talk was that the Eagles are the team. I don't like what I saw versus Seattle. They scored 10 points. It's a banged-up secondary. There was a chance for Carson Wentz to prove something on the road, and they let Russell Wilson make that defense that we heard about the defensive line make him look silly. And the Rams, quite frankly, have a better offense than the Seahawks, and they're at home. It's another game on the West Coast. I just don't buy Philadelphia as the team in the NFC. And don't look now. They lose this. Suddenly, they're dropping back to maybe missing out on a bye.
Yeah.
It's a big game on Sunday.
Giants and Cowboys. No, that's a good point. Rams-Eagles could be for a bye. Giants and Cowboys, this one at MetLife Stadium. Eli back installed as the new starting quarterback. New head coach is going to be interim Steve Spagnuolo. Cowboys coming to town. Cowboys desperately need the win to stay in a playoff race. They're 6-6 right now. The Giants season is over. Giants are getting 4.5 points. So Cowboys are favored by 4.5. And, of course, you're taking the Giants.
Yeah, I took the Giants last week with the 8.5, and they covered. The reason I'm taking the Giants here, number one, a little symmetry. Jason Garrett's first game when he took over as interim head coach of the Dallas Cowboys was at Giants Stadium, beat the Giants when they were heavy underdogs. It was that new coach kind of jumpstarts theory. I think the Giants have washed themselves of a lot of the toxic energy that was in there with Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese. And I'm not saying the Giants are a good team because they're not, but I think for one day versus their rival at home, a chance to pretty much knock the Cowboys out of the playoffs with a seventh loss, this game to me represents the Giants Super Bowl on the year. And not only that, the Giants will be wearing their white throwback uniforms, the Color Rush style, the first time they were wearing that look at home since the year 2000, 17 years. Eli comes back, little chip on his shoulder, the uniforms, Cowboys coming to town to get a chance to crush their season. No more Ben McAdoo, a lot of good karma around the Giants, and I think they win the game outright, and they're getting 4.5 points.
Is that right? That would be a bad thing, though, for draft stock.
It would be, but as long as Jerry Reese isn't the one making the pick, I guess they could draft wherever they want now.
But you want the Giants at number two if you're a Giants fan, because that means you get either Rosen or Darnold guaranteed.
For sure. Again, there's a chance to end the Cowboys season and get a little feel-good at MetLife.
But you got to go zoom out. You can't go zoom in. You can't be emotional about this.
Am I going to be disappointed if they lose this game as a Giant fan? No. But I'm telling you what I think is going to happen. Okay. I think they're going to win the game, and I think the crowd's going to be in a frenzy.
And finally, Ravens and Steelers. This one is the Sunday night game or the Monday night game?
This is Sunday night football.
This is Sunday night. Ravens in Heinz Field.
Just what the NFL needs, more AFC North hard hits in primetime.
Good point. Steelers, final matchup, final tune-up before they get to the Patriots next week. Ravens and Steelers in Pittsburgh. Steelers are a 5.5-point favorite, and you like the Ravens plus the points.
I like the Ravens. For me, I just have a hard time thinking the Steelers off that emotional game, Shazier, everything that's going on with him, answering the questions about, you know, with Mike Mitchell going nuts. I don't think their focus is fully there, and the Ravens are red hot, winning a couple games in a row. Their defense is turning people over left and right, and the Steelers have to look ahead to next week where they play the Patriots. I never thought a Steeler-Raven game could be a trap game for Pittsburgh, but in many ways, I think it is. Ravens getting 5.5 is way too many to begin with in this rivalry. I think Baltimore wins the game outright on Sunday Night Football.
That's a good pick. I really like the Ravens plus 5.5 as well. I don't know if I'd go so far as saying that they're going to win on the road, but I agree. I have a hard time believing the Steelers win by a touchdown in a tough, hard-hitting game like this coming off that short week coming off what happened against the Cincinnati Bengals and going into that Patriots game. Finally, you're undefeated with your football food of the week, pot stickers this week.
Perfect pot stickers.
Perfect. How are they different than normal ones?
Well, they're just cooked perfectly. Now, the deal with pot stickers are, I think, in the trend of all appetizer and snack foods, wildly underappreciated over the last 5 years.
That's great analysis.
You know, you can put them in a frying pan or you could steam them up, whichever way you want, and you can get a little crispiness. That beef that just, or chicken, or even if you want to go vegetable or shrimp that oozes out of the middle, you get the taste on the outside, the taste on the inside. Mm-hmm. They're not as unhealthy as some other fried foods.
They're dumplings.
They're dumplings.
Fine.
You won't feel heavy afterwards. I've attached a great recipe for quote-unquote perfect pot stickers. Okay. We like the alliteration. Just go to daoncbs.com. Click up the gut, but very wildly underappreciated. It's December. Have a pot sticker. Let's go.
Yeah, I like that idea. What is your sauce of choice with a pot sticker?
It's always soy for me. Always? Although my wife likes to integrate a little wasabi mixed with the soy like you would for some sushi rolls.
Yeah.
And I'm not as opposed to that. I'm not a big sushi person, but I could get down with that on the dumpling because then it kicks it up a notch. And I like heat.
How about sriracha?
I don't love sriracha. Hmm,
interesting.
You would think that would be one thing I caught on to. I never bought the sriracha hype. I sold on that.
You sold.
Didn't
want
to draft sriracha.
But you like spicy.
I like spicy. Sriracha is just weird to me. I bought sriracha a while ago. It's been sitting in my my fridge for 8 months. I don't touch it.
All right, that is Mraz's Up the Gut and his football food of the week. So go to our website, daoncbs.com. Check out his picks and his complete coverage and breakdown of the football week. And he does a great job breaking it all down in terms of matchups and things to look for. And so check it out there. It's a really good read going into football weekends. daoncbs.com. Look at the right-hand toolbar, and you'll see Mraz's Up the Gut picks there and links for his football food of the week so you can get stuff.
Puffiness with sodium.
While you're watching your football. When we come back, your best audio of the day in sound check, including Mike Francesa, who is about to retire in just a week, going on a rant about fat guys playing sports. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The way sports talk was meant to be, on an imaginary spaceship.
What language is that? I had no idea what that guy was talking about.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. A fine Friday to you, everybody. This game preview brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. The B-Dub Sauce Lab is proud to present their newest sauce, Thai Ginger. Ooh, I like that. Only at Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings Beer Sports, available for a limited time while supplies last. Army-Navy coming up tomorrow, 3 p.m. on CBS, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, live from Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. 6-5 Navy coming off one of their worst seasons, because that means the Navy's been very, very good recently, to play the upstart Army Black Knights, or 8-3. I've always got a soft spot in my heart for Army. Love that program. I went to football camp up there when I was just a young DA, grew up in the area around that Hudson Valley, West Point area. It's just gorgeous and beautiful on the Hudson. So Army snapping a 14-year win streak against Navy, 14-year losing streak, really, against Navy in the rivalry last year. That was a huge, huge win. This year, Army looking to go back-to-back and a belly-to-belly for the first time since the early to mid-90s. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. I want to say this with all earnestness, honesty, and sincerity, especially around the holidays where I think it's important to be kind and generous to fellow man. You guys make me better as listeners of the DA show. The DA aliens actually make me better. Because I can be coldly pragmatic, sometimes emotionally detached or distant. I can be cranky. I can be combative. And that's probably the case with my no dog pictures take. I mean, I just think I'm bombarded by dog pics on social media so much that it's like stuffing cupcakes down my throat. It's like, yeah, a cupcake or two is fine. But when I'm eating 8 cupcakes or 10 cupcakes or 12 cupcakes, I want to barf. And so that's where I was coming from. Jeff in Detroit, longtime DA alien, tweets at me a photo album of his dog, Jackson, who looks to be a lab of some sort. Maybe, I don't know. And He says, we listen to you daily, the PGPs as well. Jackson is a little down to the dumps about today's holiday, but he's your biggest fan. And the eyes on Jackson as his head is down on that porch makes my heart melt. It's making me smile inside, which is not something that I was poised to do as I came here to work today. So you guys make me better. Jackson is the best first dog of the DA show. I appreciate you warming this cold piece of coal deep inside of me. That's why me and Bilotti get along so well. All right, time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right. Your best audio of the day begins with Tre'Davious White, Bills cornerback, saying Gronk's one-game suspension is a joke.
It's a joke, dog. I don't know what to say on that. I'm laying there. He snuck me. My back turned. He could have broke my neck. I mean, I got a son to raise. I mean, you know, all that. You know, people don't think about that when they, you know, just react, you know. But that's here or there, but it is what it is.
So what we learned from Tre'Davious White is Gronk has not actually personally apologized to White, only did it through the media with a prepared statement after the game. And the problem with that is Gronk then rationalized the hit, rationalized the decision, said, what do you expect me to do, basically? He's been grabbing and going crazy on me, and the refs weren't calling anything, which is not a good defense. Is Gronk a dirty player? He doesn't have a history of dirty plays. So if you ask me, does he have a history of being a dirty player? No. But he committed a very dirty play, the dirtiest of the football year. And so when you do it once, I mean, hey, like if somebody is arrested on assault charges and convicted of the crime, is he a criminal? Yeah. I mean, is Gronk a dirty player? Well, he did a dirty play. He didn't have a history of criminality. The guy that's got been arrested and convicted once didn't have a history of it, but it did it once. Like, if you commit a felony, you're a felon. Is it a dirty play? Yeah. So is he dirty player? Yeah. Sorry, that's kind of the way that it goes when you commit a dirty play. But as for Gronk, you know, all of this can be undone as long as you are honest and authentic about your apology and you reach out to the guy. I mean, you sent him off the field, he didn't return to the game, and went into concussion protocol. Seems to me the guy deserves a personal apology, no? Or at least not you rationalizing it, considering after the game, your head coach Bill Belichick, who never concedes any ground to anybody, tells Sean McDermott it's, quote, BS. The video is right there. It's BS. So I think Gronk just comes off really terribly here. And to be quite frank, I'm a little surprised because, you know, for all of the Patriots' warts, I think they do hold those guys accountable a lot. But I think for Gronk, he's just kind of a big, arrogant doofus when it comes to this. And he thinks that he was right and he was wrong. He was wrong. And it's a dirty play, the dirtiest in the NFL this season. And as I said before, I mean, any Patriot fan defending this, and I'm not saying all have, because I've come across plenty that say, no, he deserves to be suspended. But those that are saying he didn't are pretty much blind, because if the shoe was on the other foot, they'd be going crazy. Matt tweets, if a 350-pound lineman cheap-shotted Gronk, New England fans would lose their collective minds. Grow up. David tweets, DA, like your take on the Pats this morning. Couldn't have said it any better. This is a dirty play by Gronk. Colton tweets, history of dirty plays shouldn't matter. A dirty shot is a dirty shot. Imagine if Vontaze Burfict did the same exact thing to Gronk. Patriots fans would want Burfict's head on a silver platter. Agreed. As I said, just flip this around. If Shaq Lawson felt like he was being held every time by the Patriots offensive line, Brady throws a pass that's a touchdown but falls onto the ground, and Shaq Lawson throws the weight of his body into the back of Brady's helmet, and it slams into the turf, and Brady has to be helped off the field and leaves the game and goes into concussion protocol. What do you think the reaction of Shaq Lawson would be? One game? Everybody would lose their minds, specifically Patriots fans. So how much of a double standard is this that because nobody's ever heard of Tre'Davious White, and I guess maybe because Gronk is a likable fellow, it's like one game, not a big deal. White wasn't hurt that bad. I mean, the guy went into concussion protocol. Come on, let's wake up. Devonta Freeman last night in the Falcons' win responded to Sean Payton flashing the choking sign at him.
Man, I saw it. That man don't know nothing about choking. He ain't from where I'm from. He don't know about choking. But he a good competitor, so he probably the competes probably came out. But, you know, we don't let that bother me, man. He don't know nothing about choking.
Okay, so this is kind of interesting because in sports, what we look at the choke sign is you gagged away a win. You're not good in pressure situations. And clearly the Falcons were not good in the Super Bowl last year with that 25-point lead. But Devonta Freeman is saying the choke sign is actually like physically choking somebody out, which he doesn't understand what Sean Payton was saying there. That's two totally different interpretations. Sean Payton isn't saying, I can choke you out. He is saying you as a player were on a team that coughed away a lead. So, Freeman, I think that's a little bit of a liberty you're taking with that gesture. I don't think it's the greatest look for Sean Payton. I mean, you're the head coach. You're paid all this money to be the CEO in the face of the franchise. If one of your players did that to the Falcons, got a 15-yard penalty, which negated the game-winning touchdown, Sean Payton would undress him. Right? I mean, honestly, if Mark Ingram on the game-winning touchdown, Drew Brees throws it to the end zone, it's a touchdown, Saints are going to take the lead in the waning minutes. If Mark Ingram flashes a choke sign to the Falcons, gets flagged 15 yards, play comes back, Sean Payton would undress Mark Ingram in the postgame and say there's no tolerance for that, you've got to be better than that, you've got to think smarter than that. But Sean Payton's going to do it? I mean, it's a bad look. I do kind of like, though, that it means that both these teams hate one another. And that's always fun. And finally, Mike Francesa, who is going to wrap up a Hall of Fame career next Friday on WFAN in New York, went on a rant about quote-unquote athletes in sports and how you can actually be not in the best physical shape and still be a professional athlete.
I did that. He's not an athlete. Don't give me the fact that there's, you know what? I'll give you a fat guy who's playing baseball and plays it real well. I've seen plenty of fat guys play well in baseball. Sports where you don't have to run can have fat guys. That's just the bottom line. If you have to run a lot, like basketball, you're not going to have any fat guys playing. That's all there is to it. You can't. But if you have sports where you don't have to run a lot and there are other things you can do in that sport, you can have a fat guy playing. You can have a fat guy playing. Babe Ruth was fat. Mickey Lolich was fat. David Wells is fat. Cecil Field is fat. Cecil Field, this kid, is fat. All right? And he's a hell of a player. So you can have fat players in golf. You can have fat players in baseball. You can't have fat players in basketball because they've got to run too much. But that doesn't not make it a sport.
Cecil Fielder's kid's fat.
Heck of a player.
Now, Mike might be ignoring the Oliver Millers of the world because he played basketball and was very, very round. And Barkley was known as the round mound of rebounds. He was pretty fat at times as well.
Puffiness with sodium.
But what a take, huh?
Babe Ruth was fat.
Great player.
David Wells was fat.
Cecil Fielder was fat.
Cecil Field is fat.
This kid was fat. Good player.
It's just too much.
Cecil Field, this kid, is fat. All right, and he's a hell of a player.
He dropped about 9 fat bombs just right there in a row.
Now, you don't like the F word being thrown around.
I don't, but I can still laugh at it. Again, I don't like people who aren't fat using the F word, if you will.
So in this case, you're okay?
I think Mike is not exactly, you know, Michael Jordan in the gym, if you will.
Mickey Lolich was fat.
I have no problem Mike saying fat, just like I wouldn't have a problem me saying fat.
Oh, okay, interesting. So it kind of depends on if that person can relate to being fat.
Exactly. I think it's totally okay. If you're in the fat club, use fat all you want. But just it's when outsiders call people fat, it becomes mean-spirited.
Okay. That's actually understandable. You didn't like, though, Kenny Brock calling you fat, using the F word.
No.
But then you started calling Brock fat.
Yeah, well, now Brock, if you look at him, can use the F word because he's become fat. He let himself go in recent years.
Okay, so now it's appropriate for
him. Early overnight days when he wasn't eating, he couldn't say it. Now Brock can say fat as much as he wants. The guy's become a slob.
I can't wait to hear how he responds to that to you.
Well, he won't find out unless he's listening.
Oh, we'll definitely send it to him. Says a fielder was fat. This kid's fat.
Heck of a player.
Hell of a player. When we come back here on the show, the Browns have a new general manager as they gave Sashi Brown the zig. Everybody thinks that that's a dumpster fire, but is it possible that the GM of the Browns right now is actually a good job? I'll explain next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.